Okay, well, so we're here on Daf Gimel now.
Regards from Jacob Moss.
Jacob is the father of Michael? I know Michael Moss. Dr. Michael Moss.
Oh, sorry, Daniel Hoffman.
Oh, Daniel Hoffman. Okay. I wonder if they were both in the same time. No, I don't think so. Okay. So Rav Ossai again, where are we up to now? Oh yeah, we're trying to figure out the Kal Vachomer of Beis Rebbe. Because according to Beis Rebbe, if you could be Mevatel Avoda for the sake of Kriyas HaMegillah B'tzibur, then how much more so if you could be Mevatel Talmud Torah for the sake of Kriyas HaMegillah B'tzibur. So it means on the scale of significance, of weight, and which is more weighty, according to the Kal Vachomer of Beis Rebbe, Avoda is more chamur, is more weighty and more significant than Talmud Torah. So if for the sake of Avoda, we override the Avoda, or at least postpone the Avoda, as we said yesterday, for the sake of the mitzvah of Megillah, when I say Megillah, I mean Megillah B'tzibur, then how much more so would we override Talmud Torah for the sake of Mikra Migdal? That's what we were holding yesterday. Because the Gemara now is going to challenge this very premise that underlies Rebbe's Kal Vachomer, that Avodah is more Chamur than Talmud Torah. So we're up to V'Avodah Chamura. Okay, so let's see how we count up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 lines up, you'll see the last word in that line, 6 lines up from the bottom, is V'avoda. So Gemara asks, V'avoda Chamura, is this really so? That Avoda is more severe, more chashuv than Talmud Torah? And now the Gemara enters into a whole episode with Yericho, at the time of the Kibush of Yericho, an encounter here between Yoshua and a certain figure. This figure turns out to be a Malach Hashem Tzvokos, not a shade, but a Malach. But he's a very scary looking guy, and he's holding a very sharp sword. So it says the following, Vayehi b'yos Yoshua b'Yericho. So now the Jewish people are putting a siege on Yericho at the time of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk says, Vayisa Einav, Yoshua lifts his eyes, Vayar v'hine ish omed l'negdo. Now I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you. V'charbo shlufa biyado. So he sees a man who's approaching him with a sword. Vayelech Yoshua elav. Yoshua approaches him. Vayomer lo, and he turns to this figure and he says to him, Halonu ata im litzareinu. Are you with us or are you against us? The word tsar means a tsorer, means an enemy, an adversary. So whose team are you on? You know, you're holding this sword, but on the other hand, you look like a spiritual kind of a figure. Maybe you're coming to defend us. Maybe you're coming to defeat us. What is your status? Vayomer, and what's the response of this figure? Lo. Ki ani sar tzava Hashem. I am an angel in God's army. Ata bossi. Okay, those are the two key words here that our sugya is going to revolve around. Ata with an ayin, bossi, meaning I came for something now. Now, why do I emphasize these two words, ata bossi? The implication is that I could have come to you yesterday already, so to speak, or earlier. And we're going to see here that there are two different violations that took place. And this Sar Tzva Hashem is accosting Yoshua for both of these violations. Yoshua is going to vacillate back and forth as to which of the two violations really brought the Sar Tzva, who's now threatening that the Jewish people would lose the battle, Chas V'Shalom. And the answer is Ata Bossi. I came for the latter violation. So the two violations chronologically, one is yesterday and one is today. And the Sar Tzva is going to clarify that the real punchline here, the real Makabah Patish, as we'd say, is the second violation, Ata Bossi, now. Vayipol Yoshua El Ponov Artsa. As soon as Yoshua becomes aware of the fact that he's facing a Sar Tzva. Now, you might ask, well, if Yoshua initially was quite inhibited about this guy, and very, he didn't want to approach him, it means that he thought he was from the bad guys, you know, what we call the Shaitan. Now, why did he change his opinion? Now, how do I know he changed his opinion? Because the next word of the pasuk, which you'll see in the Gemara, is Vayishtachu, and he bowed down to him. That itself indicates that he was an angel. Now, you're not allowed to bow down to an angel either. So we're going to have to really work this out. But in any event, the pasuk then says, Vayomer lo, ma adoni medaber el avdo. And at that point, once Yoshua recognizes that this God figure is indeed a Saratzva Hashem, he's an angel of God, Yoshua says, so speak. Tell me, you've been sent here apparently to transmit some sort of a message. What is the content of the message? And we're going to soon see that the content of the message is twofold. It's going to include a violation as far as Avodah is concerned. That when the Jews were at battle here, in this case about to conquer Yericho, they violated the Avodah. We'll see in a minute what that means. And they violated the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And in this context, we're going to try to figure out which is more chomer, Avodah or Talmud Torah. If the Saratsova was threatening because of the violation of Talmud Torah, it means the Talmud Torah is more chomer. If he was threatening because of the violation of Avodah, means that Avodah is more chomer. Because again, there was a double violation. Now at this point, the Gemara takes what I call a little bit of a tangential break. And the Gemara is baffled by the fact that Yoshua meets this person at night, and he bows down to this person. When I say person, I mean this figure. So at this point, we take a tangent and we ask the following question: how's it possible that Yoshua would bow down to someone he doesn't recognize the person? When you cannot recognize a person at night, you have to consider the possibility that that person is a shade. And you're not allowed to give shalom to a shade. Now, what I think that means is that you could say hello to a shade, you could say good morning to a shade, or good evening in this case, but you can't say shalom. So if the Gemara is going on intention, I'll go on intention too. There's a very specific status of saying shalom to a person. When you see a person in the morning, for example, and you say good morning to him, that's one thing. But if you say shalom to him, or shalom aleichem, that's a whole different story. Like, for example, the law is that before davening, you're not supposed to give shalom. If I want to say hello to a person, or good morning, I want to be, how do you say in English, nimusi, I want to be etiquette, my good manners, you know, then I'll say good morning to him. But shalom, that specific enunciation is the name of God. And that you're not allowed to do until you daven. To give someone else the name of God, that we don't do before davening. Or for example, you know, the Chazal say, "Having makdim shalom l'chol adam, afilu lo b'chol." Meaning, you see a person. I don't want to be facetious here and say this is what goes on the streets of Yerushalayim, but you should go up to the person and say shalom even before he comes to you. And specifically shalom, because shalom is the name of Hashem. But now the flip side is that although we recommend shalom, and that's why on Shabbos we should say Shabbat shalom to a person, except before davening. Then you say good Shabbos. Because my Rebbe used to always say that when you say good Shabbos, you get a key of owning Shabbos or covered Shabbos, but when you say Shabbat shalom, you get a double key. Not only is it covered Shabbos, but it's also b'makdim shalom l'chol adam. It's a separate key. But that we can't do before davening. So before davening, you say good Shabbos. And the guy thinks you're not a tzioni because he didn't say Shabbat Shalom. But then after davening, or at least after breakfast, he says Shabbat Shalom, so he calms down. Anyway, so also liyodim shi'itein shalom l'chaver b'layla. At night, you don't recognize a person, then you might be wasting the name of God, you know, violating the Isser Shem Hashem Hashav, which applies even to kinuyim. You know, there's two categories of names of God. There's the Shem Kodesh, and then there's something called a kinuy. Kinuy means a word that in itself is not Kodesh, but when it's used to refer to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it takes on the status of a name of Hashem. And Shalom fits into that category. So to say to a person Shalom, and he might be ashamed, that would be the equivalent to taking God's name in vain. Chashinon Shema Shehu. Now, since this whole episode, this whole meeting between Yoshua and the Malach took place at night, there was no way that Yoshua could recognize him. And therefore, he should have been Choshesh that maybe he was ashamed. And this you'll see in Rashi. Rashi, Dibra Maskil. Where is the Rashi? Hechi Ovid Hachi. It's about 15 lines up before the end of the page. Shishtachavo, the Ksiva Yifal, part of a Ishtachavo. So Rashi puts the emphasis here on Ishtachavo. Okay, but now we're going to look at Tosus. Tosus says, Chayshin and Shem Ashedu, Pirish Riva, the Dafka Chutz Le'ir. Kigon basada uba wai. Now I believe, again you might argue with me, so listen carefully so you can argue with me, that the vav of the word uba laila is a vav hamachalik, not a vav hamachaber. It means o balaila. So if you're out in the field, even during the daytime, daylight hours, or you're in the nighttime, even in the city, then we're afraid that you might be giving a shade. Why? Because the shade lurk in the dark, even in the city, and they also lurk in the sados, in places which are uninhabited by major populations. That's why they tell you if you ever think that there's a grizzly bear around, you start yelling and screaming, because grizzly bears don't like a lot of noise. So they won't bother you. That's what they say. So here also, if there's a lot of noise in an urban center, what? Then the shaman will run away.
I know it's grizzly bears and mountain lions. One of them you're supposed to actually stand still, and the other you're supposed to act big. I think the mountain lion is supposed to
be. So when I was in Iraq, they told me the grizzly bears. So I don't know. They may have changed. They may have changed that scuff. You know, we didn't see any mountain lions, but we saw.
You take look into that.
Take close to grizzly.
You don't want to get it wrong.
Right. You only get one shot at them. But Chayno Yoshua Sarah al Yericho b'Sodeh. Okay. So this case of Yericho, the Melchemes Yericho, Yoshua was out in the field. Rachok Mimnachim, so he's far away from the urban center. And therefore, he had to be choshesh that maybe the man who's encountering him is what? Is a shade. Avol b'makom shmenei odom mitzuyim, ein lochus. But if it's a place where there are many people hanging around, then you don't have to be afraid of a shade. The shade don't like, you know, they don't like to be in hot, densely populated. The lochem, Adam Shalomar Lonu Balaila Bishir. He says the following. What happens if a man is down in a ditch, let's say, this is a Gemara Gittin, and yells out, write a get for my wife. So the Mishnah says in Masechta Gittin that we go ahead and we write a get for his wife. But the Gemara is not afraid that maybe the voice that they heard, Shem Ashedu. And if it's a shade, and it's not really his voice, maybe the shade is imitating his voice. But with, so voice recognition would not be sufficient to write again. Right? So Tosus answers, well, we don't have to be choshev for a shade. Why? Because it's a populated area, and it's at night. Now, once again, is it both conditions have to be met, or one of the two conditions? Let's go back to the language of Tosus. In locate, Adam Shalomalanu. And here, Tosus in the brackets. I never know what to do with brackets, especially the Tosus. It says Balaila Beir. In other words, he says that the only way that we could completely nullify the chashad of a shade is we have two conditions. It's got to be both Balaila Ubair. But I have a footnote here.
So at night, it's not he's saying at night, it's at day, it would be a problem. But
he's saying that even though it's Balaila, since it's in the city, that seems to be enough, according to Tosis, to take off the suspicion that maybe it's a shade. I thought it worked like this. That if you're out in the sada, even during the daylight hours, or you're in the city, which is an urban area, but it's at night hours, then that's enough to generate a chashad of shade. So let me just read to you, if you don't mind. He has a quote here from the Chassam Sofer. Just see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. Oh, so the Achronim here quote a Rashi in Sanhedrin, Adaf Mem Dalet. And the assumption is that Yeshua and his encounter with this figure was at night. That's what Rashi says. And that's why Yeshua didn't recognize this person. Halanu ata imlet sarenu. He didn't recognize him. And that's the way Rashi understood it.
Oh,
now he quotes a Tosfos there in Sanhedrin, in the Sugya Daf Mem Daled. So this is not our Tosfos. Shekosfu, Tosfos writes, Shekevan Shehaya Oz Yehoshua Besados Ubaharim Chayshin Elohaki Afilu Biyom. Afilu Biyom. That's Tosfos in Masechta Sanhedrin. So again, I'm not sure if we have to square that with our Tosfos Chayshinim, but it comes out like this, that in one of two situations you have to worry about a shade, even if it's at night time, and that would apply even in the city, or in a sada, or out in the mountainous areas, that's where the shadim like to hang out, then even during the day we have to worry that maybe there's a shade. Okay, so the Gemara now has to justify how was it that Yehoshua took this figure at face value when he identified himself as a Saritzva Hashem, when he trusted him and he bowed down to him and he cried out Shalom. You're not allowed to give Shalom when you don't recognize the person. You're not definitely sure that he's not a shade. Shiny Hassam. Here is different. Why Sha'omar Le, the Malach said to Yeshua, Ki Ani Saritzva Hashem, and he mentions the name of God, he enunciates the name of God. So the Gemara says, "V'dil v'shakri." How did Yeshua know that since he enunciated the name of God, he's certainly not a shade, but rather he's a malach? And the Gemara says, "Gemiri, we know this is a besoras from back to our forefathers. The shadim, I'm going to add the word shadim, lo mafki shem shemayim levatol. Shadim do not mention God's name. Only a malach would mention God's name, because even the shadim, to some extent, are bound by halacha." You know, they again, Shadim are also a malach, and it's just that the malachi hashchasa, they're satan and so forth and so on, but they also have to be, they're also bound within certain laws and certain regulations. So one of the laws and regulations that bind a shade is that a shade will not mention God's name in vain. And if he's trying to fool Yehoshua into thinking that he's a malach, he would not be allowed to say the shame. So as soon as somebody says the shame, you know that he's not a shade. Right. That far he doesn't go. Now Rabosai, I want to go back for a moment to a point here that I think, and I only blame myself, but I think we overlooked a very important point. Go back, if you will, for a moment, and if you're counting down on the wide lines, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. Amar Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, and we're darshaning mishpacha, correct? And the Gemara quotes Rav Yossi Rav Chanina that this is coming to include Kohanim and Levim. There's no mention of Yisroel, correct? Because there are two mishpachos, one is Kohuna and one is Levim. And all this goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. And they have to be mavatil, whatever that means, let's say it means to delay their avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah Ben Sira. Yes? But then look at the next line, Ki the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, and look what Rabbi Yehuda Marav have to say here. Kohanim be'avodasam ulevim beduchanam. Alright, we'll come back to that in just a second, but what I want to emphasize here is the third category, Yisrael. And then Rabbi Yehuda Marab basically reiterates the same principle that we saw in Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and that is that for the sake of Megillah, we're going to be Mavata. What are we going to be Mavata? So clearly, in the case of Kohanim, it's the Avoda. In the case of Levim, it's Duchana. Right? The Levim were both Misharim. Misharim means they took care of the gates. And they were also Meshorim, and they were singers. That when we brought the Karban, the accompaniment of the Karban was the singing of the Levim. So that's also a participation, a contribution of the Levim to the Avod. Now we get to the third category, which again is not mentioned at all by Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina, only by Rabbi Yehuda Marav, and that's Yisrael. So what role, what contribution do the Yisraelim have in the Beis HaMikdash? And that's called Ma'amadam. Now, what is Ma'amadam? Just to say a word about Ma'amadam, because I think we skipped this. And that is that when the Talmud, the Karban Talmud, was brought twice daily, then they had to have a representation of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because whenever you bring a Karban Tzibur, the Tzibur has to be represented in the process of Havasat Karban. Now, how can you bring the whole Tzibur? You can't bring the whole Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, so you have to represent the Tzibur. And what they did was they appointed what's called Ma'amadams. And Masechta Tainis deals with this in great depth. And at the Ma'amados, they chose a certain group of Jewish people. Let me read to you the parasha at the end of Bamidbar. I'll read to you the psukim. It says, "Tzavas bnei Yisrael v'mayta lehem es karboni lachmi tishmeru lakriv libu mo'ado." And Chazal darshu that Kol Yisrael mitzuvim lamad al atomid b'shas hakarvasim. The time to bring in the carbon, the entire Kol Yisrael has to be there because they are the Balei HaKarbon. The Balei HaKarbon has to be there in the Migdash at the time of the Avos HaKarbon. U'miachashi efshar l'kol Yisrael li'os nochachim ba'azor v'shas hakarvas atomid. That's logistically impossible. Is his kinu neviim rishonim already back in the time of neviim? Esrim v'arba mishmaros. That means 24 weeks. Each week there was another mishmar, anshei mishmar. It's so interesting to me how they use that word in Sahal today. It's a very basic word. Mishmar yamod dom, if you're familiar with that. So the mishmar are those who are in charge for that week. V'kol mishmar mishmar yamami b'yushalayim. In this mishmar, there were three groups that were represented in each mishmar. Because again, we have to have all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is made up of three groups. So it has to be Kohanim, Levim, and Yisrael. And this would double up twice during the year, so you got 2 weeks. Shegiyas man mishmar lalos. When it was time for the mishmar, the Anshik mishmar to go up, at the time of the Akrovas HaKarbon. Can you hear me, Rabbi Osar? Okay, I don't hear myself, so I want to know if you hear me. Hayu HaKohanim v'Halevim Olim v'Yushalayim. The Kohanim and the Levim would go up to Yushalayim. The Yisrael Shabosa Mamon. So we have representation of both the Kohanim Levim and the Israelis. And that's the Seder called Anshei Maimon, the Ma'amados. And the Anshei Ma'amod were generally speaking people who lived in the area, the vicinity of Yerushalayim. There's a whole sukkah in Titus. What do we do for the people who weren't close to Yerushalayim? How do they participate in the Maimon? It was too much of a schlep for them to come. That's a sunya in Tainus. But now we want to ask the following. Why is it that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina doesn't mention anything more than Mishpachos Kodim Levim? When we get to Rav in the and we get to Rav, it mentions not only Kodim Levim, but also Yisraelim B'ma'amodom. So on this Rav Osar, we have a chiddush of the Maratz Chayos. The Maratz Chayos lived about 2.5 centuries ago, and he says the following. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina is coming to explain Mishpacha, Mishpacha. Yisrael is not called a Mishpacha. Mishpacha only refers to smaller groups or shvatim within Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael itself are never called Mishpacha. It doesn't mean that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina disagrees with the fundamental principle that the Anshei Mama, the Yisraelim, would have to terminate their or delay their participation as Anshei Mama for the sake of Mikra Midu. That they certainly have to do. But Rabbi Yosef doesn't mention them because he's focused on these two words, Mishpacha. Mishpacha. Rav, on the other hand, is not coming to explain the pasuk, but rather to clarify the din, the halachic principle, and therefore the din of bittul avoda for the sake of mikra begil applies equally to the Israeli b'ma'amadam. But the Pnei Yoshua wants to go a step further. He wants to know: so why did the pasuk indicate Israel? Why did the pasuk limit itself to mishpacha, mishpacha? And the Pnei Yoshua says something that I wanted to share with you because I think it's very fundamental. He says there's a difference between Kohanim on the one hand and Yisraelim on the other hand when you talk about Bittul Avodah. And he says the following, the Kohanim are involved in what we call Ikar HaAvodah. They are the primary functionaries or agents about the Avodah. However, he says that the Yisrael B'duchanam Lohavi El Lissakefli Machshirei HaAvodah. Interesting. The Bnei Yehoshua breaks new ground over here. He says, don't equate the role of all those who participated in the Korban, even though each one had a contribution to be made. In the case of the Kohanim, again, he doesn't speak about the Levium, that's going to be the gray area in the middle. The Levium are singing, so I don't know what status that is, but it could be the Anshei Mavid is also Ma'akev, but what does he mean? It's only a Machshir of the Korban. In other words, there's one category which is called Maisa HaKrovas HaKorban. There's another where there's an external outside condition in the Avodah. It's not part of the Maisa Kavana, the Maisa Avodah, but rather it sets up the possibility of the Avodah. That's called Machshirei HaAvodah. And the Pnei Yehoshua says that the reason why the Pasuk in Megillus Esther wants to emphasize the Kohanim and the Levium is because they play a major role in the Maisa Avodah HaKorban. The Yisraelim are there almost as what do they call them in the United Nations? What do they call the spectators? The observers, right. The Bnei Yisrael are observers. Again, they may be absolutely critical because they are Machshir the Avodah, but they only have the status in the vis-a-vis the Avodah of Machshir Avodah. And therefore, the Megillah wanted to focus on the Ikar Avodah to tell you that even for the sake of the Ikar Avodah, we're going to postpone the Avodah for the sake of what? Mevatlan avoda lemikra megillah, and will derive with a kolshkein that certainly Yisraelim and the Anshei Mavid are only together what machshirei avoda. They certainly have to be doche and mevatel their status, their role as machshirei avoda b'mamados for the sake of mikra megillah. So I was very excited about this because it's a real lubdish achilik that the Pnei Yeshua is making over here. Again, when we get to Rav is going to give you the whole gamut and he's going to tell you the din. He's going to establish the din. He's not interested in interpreting the pasuk. The pasuk itself, Rav would agree, refers exclusively to Kohanim Levim. The word Mishpacha would never be used with regard to Yisrael. That Yisrael is never called a Mishpacha. But and that's why Rabbi Yossi limits his discussion to Kohanim and Levim to justify the Yitur HaPasuk, the extra words of the Pasuk. But Rabbi Yudah Rav is giving us the final halacha, and he formulates the principle that every member, every group of Klal Yisrael is participating in some way in the Avodah and will be Docha the Avodah, Mavata the Avodah, for the sake of Mikra Miki. Now we get back, Rabbi Yossi, to our Sugya. Amalo Emesh. Okay, does everybody have the place? We're at Mamish on the last bit here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. It's two lines above the end of the page. And it says the following. Okay, now we're getting back to the Malach and his discussion with Yehoshua. And again, we want to emphasize two words that came out of the mouth of the Malach, and that's Ata Basi, which implies that I could have come yesterday, but I came today. Now, just a little background here. There were the first two major battles that Yehoshua fought, he waged against the Canaanim, were number one, Yericho, number two, Ai, the city of Ai. And the question is, there were two violations here. One violation, which we'll soon see, at the time of the conquering of Yericho, and another violation at the time of the Melchemes Ai. Amar lo, the Malach turns to Yehoshua, and he says the following, Emesh, yesterday, Bitaltem Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. Now, when I saw this Gemara, I got really, really confused, and I need your help over here. Number one, what does that mean, Bitaltem Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim? You know, during the 40 years of the Jews in the Midbar, they had a Mishkan, and then Shlomo Melech is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what happens here at this period of time when Yehoshua enters the land in order to conquer it? Was there a Mishkan? Was there an Avodah? And I guess the answer is, which again I wouldn't have known if not for this Gemara, is that there must have been a Mishkan that was set up on a very temporary basis, ad hoc, I guess, when they crossed the border to enter the Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, why is the Malach taking them to task for being the top Jomein Arbayim? But the second question I want to ask is, this is unbelievable. What we're saying is that during the war, they weren't able to tend to the Korban Tavid, and therefore they were Mevatel the Korban Tavid. Now, if you ask me, I would say that's a good thing. I mean, you know,
just one of the one half the day.
One half the day, or maybe
Ben Arbayim. So Ben Arbayim is
good. Right, or maybe the
so
morning.
They're in the middle of the war, and they skip mincha. Okay.
Right. So it seems to me that if you're waging a war, you know, this is not the time to take a break to bring a carpet. You know, this is a major effort with a lot of pikuach nefesh. You know, a lot of danger involved. But nevertheless, it seems that at this point in Jewish history, there was a claim against Yehoshua that he could have had such a reliance on God. You know, that maybe the whole war effort was all based on bitachon and the aron of luchos habris and so forth and so on. So we take Yehoshua to task because he couldn't take a break during the war effort for the sake of the carbon tumen, even though again that would have in some way slowed down the war effort and maybe even exposed Jewish people to danger. But nevertheless, we have to have total reliance on Hashem. And not only that, the Achshav, now we're in the second Melchama, and they did another Avera. What's that? Bitaltem Talmud Torah. Can you imagine, Rabbi Osa, you're in a siege against the city, you're about to enter into the city, and what you'd be doing? Time to learn Torah. It's fine, Bach. The whole...
He said he is saying the Achshav now. Now is when he met him...
Correct.
So this is, he's not in the middle of a war right now.
No, this is the night before he's going out to battle.
Exactly. He's not in the battle.
Correct. No, that I understand. We're not going to take out a Gemara in the middle of a battle. But I'm just saying, you're sieging against the city. You're organizing. You're about this. And what are we going to do on the night before we go out to battle? We're going to learn Masechta Megillah. B'amkus, you know, that's what it comes out of. Omar Los, Yehoshua turns to the Malach, Al Ezeman Bossi. In other words, obviously you're telling me that there were two violations over there. There was one yesterday and one today. And now we're going to suffer the punishment as a result of these two violations. But which of the two, apparently you waited and delayed your coming to us beyond the first violation, you only came after the second violation. Omar Lo Ata Bossi. The real clincher was the fact that you were Mavatil Talmud Torah. Niyad, immediately. So it seems like Yehoshua did tshuva. They accepted upon themselves that they would have to dedicate themselves to Torah study, and therefore the Pasuk says, Vayelchu El Amarov, before they went out for the ambush, it says, Vayolin Yehoshua Balaila Hubitoch Ha'emen. So what is the Torah telling us? That Yehoshua went down to rest, so to speak, Vayolin, at night before daybreak to attack, to ambush Ai. Bitoch Ha'emek. What is Bitoch Ha'emek? What was this deep ravine over here? And what's it all about? Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, here we turn to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Malami Shalom, the Onka Shalom. That the word Lina here doesn't mean that that's where they were resting, but rather the word Lina indicates dedication to Torah study. And not only just the Torah study on the most superficial level, but the Onka Shalom. You remember, Rabbi Yochanan, we spoke about yesterday about two levels of Talmud Torah. This is the deepest level of Torah study. It means that in the Melchama, which took place right after this mice of Lund, what does it say here? Lund Besocha Emek, Vayolan Belailu Betocha Emek, means right after they dedicated themselves to a very deep, profound study of Torah, and Vayelech Yehoshua Belailu Betocha Emek, is right after that they went out to battle, and this was a tikkun, this was a rectification of the sin of Bittul Torah. And they were able to somehow put their minds together. You know, imagine what kind of mental energy this would take during, you know, you're in the thick of a battle. I don't mean the thick of a battle that they were actually throwing the swords, but they were camped in order to go out, and yet they had the focal point. They and again, they had to have a great deal of bitachon. That at that point they could dedicate themselves to Torah study and Hashem would protect them, because even at night you're exposed to all sorts of dangers. And again, amongst these two sins, one is Bittul HaTamid and the other is Bittul HaTorah. Which one was more severe? It was Atabasi, the one of Bittul Torah. So you see that Bittul Torah is a worse Avera then Bittel Avot of Yom Rav Yeshua, Yom Rav Shmuel Bar Unya. Gadol, how severe is the violation of Bittel Torah? Tamdor Yoser Me'akrav Satvidim. It's even a worse violation. What's it mean than that of violating the Talmud? Shenema Atabasi. The Malach gave a casket, rebuked them on the sin of Bittel Torah. He never actually showed up to officially and explicitly castigate them and rebuke them because of the Avera of Bittel Akrovas HaKor. But you see that Talmud Torah is a more serious Avera, Bittel Talmud Torah, than Bittel Avoda. So now we go back to the Kabbalah of Rebbe. Rebbe said that since it says Mishpachah, Mishpachah, and the Kohen have to be mivatel from Avoda, how much more so do we have to be mivatel from Talmud Torah? What's the Kolshkin? Maybe in the case of Talmud Torah, since it's more severe, more weighty, we would not be mivatel Talmud Torah for the sake of Mikra Megillah. Lo kasha, says the Gemara, Deravim, Hadiyachim. There are two fundamentally different categories of Talmud Torah. There's one Talmud Torah Deravim. If you take a look at Rashi at the top of the Omer, Rashi says, the Hossam call Yisrael. And all the Akkorim Vedaik from Rashi, that what's Talmud Torah the Rabbin? When the entire Jewish people are represented. We're going to miss you, Eric. If you see any nice. If you see any beautiful scenes, please send us a WhatsApp so we can. You're not going to go.
You just put that like what?
Yeah, believe it. Yeah, just send me a one line so I don't forget. Okay then? So, Hod Rabin, which Rashi identifies as Kol Yisrael, and Hod Yachid, which means that the Avoda is more chashuv than Talmud Torah D'Yachid, if an individual is studying Torah. So clearly, for the sake of my personal limud Torah, I have to terminate that in order to hear the Megillah. But if it was a matter of Talmud Torah D'Ravim, then we would not terminate Talmud Torah D'Ravim even for the great mitzvah of Megillah. Now again, when the Gemara says Yachid, what does Yachid mean? According to Rashi, Yachid would mean if some member of Klal Yisrael is absent, it's not Kol Yisrael. But the Pashas would be that Yachid would be one person learning by his own, or let's say nine people learning by their own, and there's no minyan, there's no tzibur. But in any event, we don't know exactly what's the Yachid or what's the Rabin. Rashi here could be supported by the mitzvah Hakel, because that's really the prototype of Talmud Torah D'Rabim. And in the case of Hakel, the pasuk goes out of its way to say that every single Jew should be there, even the babies had to be there. So that's Kol Yisrael. In which case, this halach of Talmud Torah D'Rabim, which overrides Kriyas HaMegillah, is almost it's almost an empty set, because when are you going to get all of Klal Yisrael together? You know, Baal Nedar Ish, without anyone being missing, for the sake of Talmud Torah. But if not for Rashi, Hod Rabim, Hod Yachid, would be anytime 10 people get together and they learn together
Torah, that
would be the Rab. Now, what are the halachic repercussions or implications of Talmud Torah the Rab? First of all, Talmud Torah the Rab does not kowtow to the mitzvah of Megillah B'tzim. That's clear from this sukkah. What else? So I saw Talmud Torah D'Rabim in a sugya at the beginning of Pesachim. And the Gemara there says that if you have a Seder Limud and it's time for B'dikas Chametz, then you should not be involved in learning. Because you might get, the Gemara says, you might get so involved in your learning, you'll forget about it. I can't remember right now, it's on Daftalat, the Gemara's language here, but the Gemara says that he'll gurr, I think it says gurr, that he'll be so schlepped along by the learning, it's so profound, that he'll forget the Vikas comments. But the Poskim point out that sugya only refers to Talmud Torah the Yochid. With regard to Talmud Torah the Rabin, is then the halacha is very different. That you're not mevatel Talmud Torah the Rabin for the sake of the Vikas comments. So that's another example of the special status of Talmud Torah the Rabin. My Rebbe Zichrono Livracha used to always say that the Torah was established by Moshe Rabbeinu and it was altered again at the time of Ezra. All that was because of the special kiyum of Talmud Torah D'Rabim. That when we read the Torah publicly, that elevates our Torah study to a whole different dimension. It's called Talmud Torah D'Rabim. And he had to find the source in Shas for this special category of Talmud Torah d'Rabbah. It would be right here on Daf Gimel, right here on Daf Gimel on the Beis. Now the Gemara says, "Vinti Yochid Kal." Are you telling me that if I'm learning on a private basis, or we're only 9 people, so then it's lower, it's less important, less weighty than Avodah? What are we going to do with the Mishnah of Avodos? Okay. So now what goes on in the Mishnah of Avodos? Okay, so let me just give you a little background. There are 3 categories here that are covered by this Mishnah in Moikat, the Mishnah of Avodos. And all these 3 categories have to be analyzed in the light of the following special days in the Jewish calendar year. Number 1, Chol HaMoed, because we don't want avelus, overt avelus on Chol HaMoed. Number 2, the case of Rosh Chodesh. And number 3, the case of Chanukah and Purim. So these are the 3 categories of holidays, of special days in the Jewish calendar, which sort of resist avelus, because avelus will undermine the kiyum of Chol HaMoed for sure, because Chol HaMoed is also b'samach with the Chagecha. And even in the cases of Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, there is an element of simcha, and therefore avelus is antithetical to simcha. Now avelus in the case of all the step-by-step processes that have to take place before the actual burial divides up into 3. It's called Ma'anos, Metavchos, and Mekononos. Okay, let's go one by one. The first one is Ma'anos. Ma'anos means that they had women who were professionals at letting out a certain cry of anguish. You know, like what we would call maybe a krecht, if you know what I mean. And it seems that the women had this special talent. The men didn't have the talent, because as a result of the women's ma'anos, that intensified the avelus. You know, sometimes you can bury the dead in a callous kind of way, but that's not the way that Halacha wants. Halacha wants it a real mourning and grief. So for the sake of the dead and the covet of the dead, we're going to allow this ma'anos to take place even on Chol HaMoed. Okay, then, so we're overriding Chol HaMoed for the sake of the covered up mess in Avelis, only as far as Ma'anos is concerned. But now we intensify, and we get up to the next level, which is called Metaphos. Metaphos is a more intense level of grief and stimulate and arouses amongst the people a more intense grief, and that's Metaphos. Metaphos means that they bang on their hearts. Now the most intense level of Avelis is called Mekononos. Mekononos, where the professional women used to actually cry out. And I don't know if you've ever been in an experience where there's a sad moment and people start crying. As soon as people start crying, it sweeps the whole thing. And these Mekononos were professional. In fact, there's a pasuk in Eicha referring to Tisha B'Av that they used to call upon the Mekononos, because, you know, as they moved further and further away from the actual historical period of the Churban, people felt less for the grief. So in order to intensify the grief for what's called Avelus Derabim or Avelus Yeshana, whatever term you use, they used to call upon the Mekononos. And that's a pasuk in Eicha. Now, in this three levels, in this tripod, you know what we're going to allow on Chol HaMoed, because of the severity of the Simcha of Chol HaMoed, is we're only allow Ma'anos. We're not going to allow Metaphos, and certainly not Mekononos. However, Rabbi Shmuel makes the following qualification. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, im hayu smuchos l'mita. Mita here means the coffin, so they're really bringing out the dead. And these women are now very close to the dead. That's where there's even a more intense level of covenant mess. Because we can't be callous at this moment. We're actually carrying the mita for burial. Is even metaphos. Rabbi Shmuel says that even on Chol HaMoed, we're going to allow metaphos. Why? Because we're samach l'mita. So samach l'mita takes on a whole new status as far as avelus is concerned, to be matir avelus on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, which is the highest level of Simcha of the 3 that we're dealing with. The next level of Simcha is Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh also engenders an Isra, Hespe, and public public expression of our faithfulness. And then we get down to the lowest level, which is called Hanukkah and Purim. There too, we don't have any hesters. But here, we're going to allow ma'anos and metapchos. In other words, even metapchos, when they bang on their heart, that also is going to be permitted on Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, and Purim. And even if it's not samach l'mita, because if it was samach l'mita, metapchos would be mutar sedrach shul even for Chol HaMoed. Then the Mishnah says, bazeh u'bazeh. In other words, one prohibition and one restriction is going to apply straight across the board. Bazeh u'bazeh to all these categories. Number one, Chol HaMoed. Number two, Rosh Chodesh. And number three, Chanukah and Purim. Even though we're on the lowest level now, Chanukah and Purim, but there's one thing that has to be curtailed. Avalo Mekononos. Because Mekononos is the most intense level of arousing Avelus, and that we're not going to allow, not even on Chanukah and Purim.
It's like a whale.
I was once in Lakewood, Yeshiva, on Yom Kippur. I'll never forget it. There were probably 500 guys in the base medrash, and they got up to Eila Eskor, which is the Asar Rugi Malkus, and one Yeshiva guy started crying. It was unbelievable. Within seconds, the entire Yeshiva was crying. So that's called Mekononos. The Amar Rabbi Baruch Hu, Ein Moed Bifnei Talmud Chacham. The whole structure falls apart if we're bearing a Talmud Chacham, which means that if the deceased is a Talmud Chacham, he's a person who teaches Torah, he's a Morah Horah, he's a Dayan, he really knows Torah well, then even on Moed, we're even going to allow the most intense level of Avelus, which means not only Ma'anos, and not only Metaphos, but even Mekononos. And we're going to add another thing to the list, even Hespet. In other words, usually Hespet itself is Asur, even on Chanukah and Purim. That's a Braisa in the Sefer Shabbos, on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, that on Chanukah we don't have Hespet. But for the sake of Talmud Chacham, we're going to allow Hespet. And if you, and Rabbah says, Ain't Moed b'fnei Talmud Chacham, that even on a Moed we're going to allow Ma'anos, Metaphos, Umekononos. Kol Shkein b'Chanukah Purim, because Chanukah and Purim are a couple of notches lower than a Moed, and we're going to have a Hetet for Hesped and Mekononos, all for the sake of Kavanah Torah. The Kavanah Torah of whom? Of a Talmud Chacham. And yet he's a Yachid. We're not talking about Talmud Torah, the Rambam. And nevertheless, for the Kavanah Talmud Torah of a Yachid, we're going to override the mitzvah of Mishteh and Simcha of Purim, the Rambam holds that this isn't even on Chanukah. All this is going to be trumped for the sake of the Kavod HaTorah for one Yachid who died. So it seems that even the Talmud Torah for Yachid has the status of being more severe, such that it overrides Megillah. Now again, it doesn't say anything here in this mission about Megillah, but it says Chanukah Purim. Chanukah Purim has two parts of it. It has the Yom Ha'ilu Miskarim. Miskarim means that we have Mishnah and Simcha. And Vinasi. Vinasi means that we read the Megillah. And if you recall back on Daf Gimel, we had a Hekesh equating Zechira and Asir. So if with regard to Zechira, that means Mishnah and Simcha, we're going to override Mishnah and Simcha for the sake of the covenant of one Yachid, one individual Talmud Chacham, then the same thing is going to apply to Mikra Megillah to Nasim. And the Gemara answers, Kavod Torah Kamrit. You'll bring me a ride from Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah the Yachin Chamor, but Talmud Torah the Yachin Kachor. The Gemara makes the following distinction, that if you're dealing with Kavod HaTorah is something that reflects on all of Klal Yisrael, even though it's one Yachin who died, but this mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah vis-a-vis the deceased, in this case the Talmud Chacham, that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. It almost has the upgraded status of Talmud Torah the Rav, because that's Kavod HaTorah. And for Kavod HaTorah, we have to be mechaber the Torah, and all those who study the Torah, that's more chomer than Mikra Megillah. But in the case of Talmud Torah, the Yachid, the actual learning of a Yachid, that's on a low level, and that's Nidche, and that's going to be overridden for the sake of Megillah. Okay, Rav Moshe, so we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow.
Especially we start about Lakewood.
Yeah.
It was a yoga unit that got in the ship house. Baruch Hashem, why you need to now speak. He's talking about who is the Rabbi Rinder. That is a discussion of Rabbi Rinder. I don't remember what it's called.
He started crying.
He had good
crying. The chef is known to be a crybaby.
So someone says, what's
why are you crying?
Why is he crying? You know, you just mentioned he has read the Maamar Rudra so many times in the depth. It's so biblical. He feels the loss.
Even today, the Maamar Rudra feels the loss today.
He feels the loss today.
Unbelievable.